Kame! How you doing? Gohan here. I'm just teaching Mike the Birdman Dodd and his geeky gang here how to power up, sound extremely constipated, having glowing spiky blonde hair, and do absolutely nothing for at least 10 episodes. But for some reason, the fans keep coming back, and that's 10 levels of awesome! You're tuned in to ThisWeekInGeek.net.
Good morning or afternoon, guys. This is Mike the Birdman Dodd, and you are listening to This Week in Geek's Nerd News Network. Today is January 31st, 2014, and well, gonna start things off kind of special. This is Twig's 7th year anniversary. That's right, we've been online for 7 years as of the 27th, and, well, frankly, holy shit. We've been around this long, well over 1,000 hours worth of content across our various shows and podcasts, like the Untitled Mike and Laura Project, DVD commentaries, Twig Topic shows. Which, speaking of that, the Twig Topic show will be coming likely on Saturday night or Sunday morning. We have some problems with one of the hosts right now, specifically his internet connection. So hopefully we'll be doing the Hulk Hogan cinematic retrospective this weekend, so you have it to listen to sooner as opposed to later. So yeah, like I said, happy 7 years to us. We're friggin' awesome. And well, I've got a lot of things to talk about today because, well, I'm snowed in. I'm not even kidding. As of this recording, the county that I'm living in, Dufferin County in Ontario, Canada, we're under a state of emergency, and that means roads are closed, places are starting to run out of gas, propane, emergency services have been activated, and it's basically a living hell. In fact, I think certain roads around me have been closed for the better part of 4 to 5 days now. The situation's starting to suck, let's say that. I'm pretty sure I heard a helicopter today, swinging overhead, so yeah, this is my life. In today's show, we're going to be looking at, well, a number of different things, from porn stars for Lego, the X-Men covers that have been released by Empire Magazine, a demonic possession, also another Lego story, oddly enough, involving the Ghostbusters, and, well, that's pretty much what we're going to be talking about today. So I want to start things off with the story that caught my attention the most this past week. Now, this story actually happened a year or two ago, back in 2012, I think it was. I'm actually just getting the dates right now. Yeah, and it finally was released in the past couple of days. Now, this comes out of Gary, Indiana, and it's a demonic possession. Now, I'm going to preface this by saying I fully believe in the supernatural. I've gone ghost hunting myself. I've seen things that I cannot explain through any rational explanation, and I've captured voices on tape that defy my professional expertise in audio. With that being said, here's the story. So, a woman named Latoya Ammons, her and her family were living in Gary, Indiana, and they moved into this rental home in the fall of 2011. And then in March 2012, weird shit started to happen. They'd hear banging in the walls. They'd go up to the door of their basement. They'd hear something slamming against it. Latoya awoken one night to see this shadow figure standing in the living room, pacing back and forth. And when she awoke the next day, she found large wet boot prints. Now, it gets even weirder because one night she heard one of her kids screaming, and she saw one of her daughters floating above the bed unconscious. That's pretty fucked up. And normally you think this sort of thing is relegated to movies and the supernatural, you know, television show, but not so much because things started progressively getting worse and worse, so eventually child services got involved because this woman had gone to local churches. A lot of them just didn't listen to her. And they reached out to these clairvoyants, and they're like, yeah, there's like 200 demons in your house. that's not the kind of news you want to hear. And then more demonic possessions happened, and I'm actually going to read a part of this article, which will be posted in the show's notes, and I'm going to quote from the article directly. The family said demons possessed Amanz and her children, then ages 7, 9, and 12. The kids' eyes bulged, evil smiles crossed their faces, and their voices deepened every time it happened, Campbell and Amanya said. Campbell said the demons didn't affect her because she was born with protection from evil. She said that she and others like her have a guardian who protects them. Amon said she felt weak, lightheaded, and warm when she was possessed. Her body shook and she felt out of control. You can tell it's different, something supernatural. The youngest boy, who was then 7, sat in a closet talking to a boy that no one else could see. The other boy was describing what it felt like to be killed. Campbell said the 7-year-old once flew out of the bathroom as if he'd been thrown, and a headboard once smacked Amon's daughter so hard it caused a wound needing stitches. The 12-year-old would later tell mental health professionals that she sometimes felt as if she was being choked and held down so she couldn't speak or move. She said she heard a voice say she'd never see her family again and wouldn't live another 20 minutes. Things finally got so bad, these guys went to a hotel to sleep on certain nights when things got frankly bizarre. Now, it gets weird. At one point during a medical visit in the hospital, one of the kids, got possessed, for lack of a better phrase, and started speaking in a demonic voice. The boy was then lifted and thrown into a wall with nobody touching him. Now, medical staff witnessed this along with Amon. It got so bad that they called 911, and they had 7 or 8 cops show up. So they took the kid to the hospital, and then this is where it got weird. The grandmother was holding, the boy. He literally walked up a wall backwards. Oh yeah. It's just so strange because the boy then would say, once again, I'm going to quote from the article, it's time to die. I will kill you. And then, basically all hell broke loose. And there actually is, I'm actually going to link this as well in the story. There's like 800 pages of police documents that back some of this up. And that's just astounding to me. Now the family has since moved out of the rental location, but it's funny because there was an interview in Toronto, which I'll probably link as well if you guys want to know more about this, done by Bill Carroll. He's a DJ on Toronto's AM 640. He's on from 4 to 7 on weekdays, and he talked to a skeptical reporter about this. And if you want to hear that 15-minute interview, there's a link here to a SoundCloud file. But it gets weirder because they captured some EVP, which is electronic voice phenomena, from one of the police officers' helmet cams when they went in to go investigate the place. I would love to be able to take a look at this audio myself, but it does sound like classic EVP, which can be said to be heard. It's spirits or whatever talking below the audible threshold, or sometimes speaking directly onto the recording device. It's an entirely different science in and of itself. Entirely fascinating. And a lot of people don't believe this story, which is funny because from what I understand, Christianity is the prevailing religion in a lot of these areas and in the U.S. I think a lot of people identify as Christian outside of the big ones like Muslim and everything else. I'm not entirely sure of the stats, but this is what I understand. And it's terrifying that people don't believe in this, because I'm thinking, well, if you believe in God, you believe in the other guy too. You believe in angels, you should be believing in the other guy too, and his foot soldiers. I don't know. I mean, from my belief system, I have seen things I cannot explain. And I have seen some absolutely terrifying things that I cannot explain. And I have heard some terrifying things I cannot explain. So I leave this story up to your interpretation. I'd love to actually hear from you guys to see what you think about this. So feedback at thisweekingeek.net or just comment on the Facebook page. I would love to get some kind of a conversation going. And if you wish, guys, I will share some of my EVPs that I've actually captured and give you the original files if you want to hear more, though you will need audio equipment or audio editing programs to get the best results. But some of them are, well, quite clear. Anyway, moving on to something a little less friggin' scary. This one... Oh, shit. I just closed the tab. I'm sorry, guys. Give me just a second. Okay. Well, like every red-blooded male, everybody likes porn. Isn't it funny? And in today's story, actually, one of my two Lego stories I'm actually going to be covering today, porn star Christy Mack posted on her Twitter account, rather, the coolest Lego creation to put in her house wins a prize. And that prize was a blowjob. Now, it's funny. Some people were cheating and sending in images that they found on Google or somewhere else on the web. And some people went the extra mile and hand-delivered their stuff to her. Now, it's funny. She then posted on her Twitter account on the 24th of January, "People are calling this brilliant self-marketing. I'm calling it, I'm just a whore that likes Legos." However, on the 29th of January, "The BJ competition is off due to lawyers not liking my Twitter content. I think it's because they didn't win the competition." Yet later on that morning, she would go on the post, "But I guess if people want to build something out of colorful, snap-together, painful-to-step-on 18-plus toys, who am I to stop them? Lol." That's kind of hilarious. So Legos can potentially get you laid, which is, I think, incredibly funny. Now, Christy Mack is... she's kind of hot. I'm just saying. I was actually saying to my wife, "Wow, if I had any talent, this would be my one story I could tell for the ages." And she's like, she's giving me shit in the background. Or she said, "I could win the competition and donate the prize. So if I would have someone owe me forever." But I'm thinking, you know what? I want this to be my story because you know what? It would be a great... It would be a really funny entry in a memoir. Call it like the Lego blowjob or something like something that definitely piques your interest because you're like, what the fuck? But still, the lawyers allegedly killed this. I have a feeling something will come out of this. I really do. But still, that's amazingly funny. Build Legos for a blowjob. Which I guess I might as well transition into my next Lego story because, you know, I guess it kind of goes and makes a lot of sense. Lego has this thing where every year they accept different pieces of content for consideration to build into a full Lego set. Examples include the Back to the Future car. And this year's a big deal because it's the 30th anniversary for Ghostbusters. And this guy named Brent Waller submitted a 30th anniversary design for Ecto-1 and a bunch of minifigures. His design includes a light-up Ecto-1 based upon the Ghostbusters 2 car. And the minifigures, they're more based... they're more based on their first edition appearance. And surprise, surprise, it got approved. So this thing will be available later on this year. They're not precisely sure when... they're thinking, if I had to guess, I'd say we'll probably see this before Halloween. That would make the most sense to me. Now, it's cool, though, in the fact that in one of the pictures, they have a Lego Ghostbuster firehouse, too. Unfortunately, the collection, as of this current time anyway, it's just the car and the minifigures. Now, I actually may go out of my way to actually get this, because I enjoy building Mega Bloks. I actually built a really cool... Need for Speed car a couple years ago. I used to have these really awesome Halo Mega Bloks. Like building that Phantom was such a pain in the ass. And I used to have roommates I used to live with who helped me build the Scorpion tank and a bunch of other ones a couple years ago. And it was just really, really, really sick. So I'm excited for this. I actually may go back and check out the Back to the Future car if I can still find it. Now some of the, they do have some new designs that are up for consideration. One of them is the is one of the Macross Valkyries. Holy shit, do I want that to get approved. It looks fucking so cool. Other ones include Adventure Time. There's also one for The Legend of Zelda, where he's fight, I think it's Link fighting Ganondorf. A new DeLorean car, which is not the flying model, but it's more meant to be on the street version. So very much like the first movie. And there's like a Japanese architecture one, and I think one more, but I'm not entirely sure. So it's a good time to be a Lego guy, which I think is utterly fantastic. So I'm super hyped for that. Moving on to probably one of my last stories. Recently, Empire Magazine, huge, you should know this. It's like a huge film and television magazine. I actually interviewed one of the executive editors from this, last month actually, regarding, the Terminator Vault. They had, a thing where they would reveal up to, let me see, I'm just going to count the covers here, 25 different covers on one day for X-Men Days of Future Past. And some of these designs were just getting a look at some of the characters for the first time from Bryan Singer's movie, which I think comes out, I want to say, can't remember whether it's July or May. I'm not entirely sure. Anyway, looking at some of the characters here, I'm just going to give you the rundown. It's Past Sentinel, Havoc, Toad, General Stryker, Bolivar Trask, Mystique, Beast, Quicksilver, Magneto, Young Charles Xavier, Wolverine, Bryan Singer himself, Future Wolverine, Future Professor X, Future Magneto, Storm, Rogue, Warpath, I forget who this person is, I think it's Blink, Iceman, Sunspot, Iceman, Bishop, Colossus, and finally, the Future Sentinel. A lot of these designs are really cool looking. I actually am absolutely in love with the Past Sentinel, the Mark I. It looks very similar to the Sentinel we'd see in the X-Men animated series. Basically, the big purple robot. And I've always been a fan of that design. It would make my life complete if they got the guy who voiced the Sentinels from the X-Men animated series. Holy shit, would that be awesome. Some of the other designs I like, I kind of like Toad. Toad looks like the steampunky weird version, although I'm pretty sure that's not Ray Park. So that's interesting. Although there are some really bad versions, and I'm gonna go from least bad to worst here. Stryker looks like General Army Goof. Bolivar Trask, the guy, Peter Dinklage, the guy from Game of Thrones, just, he looks so teeny, and I don't mean that to be insulting. I mean that I don't think he's scaled properly on the page. He just looks like he's got this big 70s porn stash. And Professor Xavier, I think it was somebody on Machinima or SourceFed said it best. He looks like he's auditioning for Boogie Nights. Just really lame pose. And then, by far the stupidest design, cover number 8, Quicksilver. He looks like he's going to a fucking rave. And this character design is stupid. I mean, he's got these ridiculous goggles, this leather jacket. I think he's got like a Walkman or something. He looks, like I said, looks like he's going to a rave in the year 1999. Or maybe some ironic Y2K party. I don't know. I really hope this is just one costume for him. Then again, I don't expect him to have his original green with the lightning bolt or the silver with the lightning bolt. I don't know. And the X-Men movies have always had, well, interesting designs for their costumes, looking like leather Matrix bondage outfits. I don't know. I do like Past Magneto in his armor. It does look really cool, and Future Wolverine looks neat. Although Professor X with his armor looks a little goofy. Storm looks okay. I do like that. Warpath, I'm generally surprised, is in this. I figured out who that one person was I was looking at. That's Kitty Pryde. Then again, there's not a whole lot you can really do to show her powers unless you show her kind of phased out, and it wouldn't look super cool on this thing anyway. Blink? I'm surprised to see her in this, because as far as I know, she's an Age of Apocalypse character, but whatever. Colossus looks really cool. I'm really, really, really happy to see him back, and I think it's the same guy doing it. And Bishop. Bishop looks fucking cool. I'm just a huge fan of that character in general. It looks like his energy redirection powers will be channeled into his gun. And finally, this is where I get a little bit questionable on this one. And I'm actually going to post the link to Empire online so you can see everything that I'm talking about. The Future Sentinel. He looks like this bio-organic material. It's like he's got thousands of these little plates or scales that ripple over him. And I don't know. I guess this is supposed to be their interpretation of Nimrod, because this is the Days of Future Past storyline, or as seen through the lens of Bryan Singer. I don't quite know how I feel about this. I think they said this is the final solution, is what they're calling him, our Future Sentinel. So, I don't know. I'm really hoping X-Men Days of Future Past does amazing. In fact, because the Super Bowl's on like Sunday, I'm really hoping they have a longer trailer. I would love to see just a trailer where it's nothing but the Sentinels just cutting down mutants, and have it be like a PSA from like Trask Industries saying, "We are protecting humanity from the mutation menace," or some shit like that. I think that would be really sweet. Actually, you know what? Kind of a bonus story here to talk about some of the Super Bowl commercials that are coming out. There's a really awesome one involving Morpheus. He's selling you like a BMW, I think it is, or a Kia or something. There's another one where Terry Crews from The Expendables is hanging out with Muppets, which is particularly well done. It's a Highlander is the vehicle I think it is. There's also a really, there's only the first half of this trailer, and it's 40 seconds, and it's for The Amazing Spider-Man 2. There's a lot of new footage in it. And I'm kind of guessing Gwen Stacy's going to die in this one, because it would kind of give him the push to become the better superhero and all that shit, because they're really trying to set up this Sinister Six thing and each of them getting spin-off movies or something. You know what? Sony, buddy, pal, a friend of mine. I want two things. One, I want a properly done Venom. Just make it happen. You know, if you have to hire like a wrestler to be like Eddie Brock or something, as long as he can act, I don't care. You can make this shit happen. I'm not saying get like Vin Diesel, because I just don't think he's got the right face for it. But I want a proper Venom. And two, I'm pretty sure I'd sell my firstborn for this. I want Carnage. I think it would be fantastic. You know who I might think have been able to do it? David Caruso. Yeah, I know he's a little bit older now, but if you could just get him to just let go of Mr. CSI Miami and let him go ape shit, I think it'd be an awesome Cletus Cassidy. I'm just saying. In fact, if you've got a better casting suggestion for Carnage, let's hear it, man. Show me a picture. Make this awesome. Feedback at thisweekingeek.net or This Week in Geek Show on Facebook. You can find this. Finally, one of the things, and I was saving this till the end of the show, because I do want to end off on kind of a serious note. Last Thursday, we lost a very good friend of ours, of the show, and pretty much to the internet itself. And that was Justin Juario Carmichael. Died of a self-inflicted gunshot wound last Thursday. And it obviously has drawn the internet community together. There are lots of tributes on Facebook, on Twitter, on YouTube, Reddit, even 4chan got in on this. And a lot of them are really, really, really good. In fact, there's a really good one by the Game Chasers. If you go over to their YouTube channel, I think it's like Captain 8-Bit. Or just type in Game Chasers Juario, I'm sure you'll find it. And it's about a half hour long, and it's probably one of the greatest monuments I've seen to his life and his legacy. So far, we also did one. I did one on Saturday when I found out, and I'd only known about for maybe about 2 hours about that it happened, but I wanted to get it out while I still had it fresh in my mind. So this week has had its up and downs. That's for sure. That's probably the understatement of the year, but, we at, This Week in Geek definitely express our gratitude for having known you. And our sorrow for having lost you so young. So, guys, that's pretty much going to do it for this edition of the Nerd News Network. I'll be back next Friday with yet another exciting episode, which hopefully will not go as weird as this one did in certain areas. But anyway, guys, I want you guys to get involved with the show. I do not have the voicemail working right now, so email is the best way. So feedback at thisweekingeek.net, or if you want to email me directly, it's just mike@thisweekingeek.net. I try my best to get back to everybody, and always my Twitter, Instagram, etc., etc. So hopefully next week I'll be talking about Bravely Default. I just got that game. I'll give you guys a little bit of a preview of my review of that, and we should have a rad coming out in the next couple of days, I'm hoping. But it will be exclusive to Review a Day and This Week in Geek until I get my That Guy stuff sorted out. So anyway, guys, until next time, I've been Mike the Birdman Dodd saying, live free and die hard. And I'll catch you guys next time, right here on ThisWeekInGeek.net, where I've realized I've screwed up my outro. So live free or die hard in this case. But have you guys a wonderful Super Bowl weekend and eat as many hot wings as you possibly can.
Want to see me make bubbles with my spit?
Sure do. In fact, that's the theme of our next show.
So don't miss it.
What the hell happened to George Lucas?
Oh my God, there's snot on my face. And I'm your host, Mike the Birdman Dub. And I'm not a join. What the f*** does that mean? F*** that. 10 seconds.
No, you gotta keep that.
Let's do this. Let's do this right the first time.
F*** you guys. Ew, it's in my mouth. Oh, God.
Oh, what's it taste like, Mike?
Water. Ew, salty.
Let's start this episode with shat.
Okay, okay, I'm good. Geico.
Holy shit. Oh my gosh, freak! Die, 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 die! Holy crap! Whoa, whoa! Whoa, my god, whoa! Where did it go?
I'm like a stupid monkey.
As you can imagine, they don't let us out much.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek. Tune in next week to hear, somebody random. I don't know. Maybe even a hot chick. Yeah, let's go with that.
Did anyone ever tell you that you were very, very sexy?
How are you? Actually, no.
They never will.
Check out our website, thisweekingeek.net, for more geek content, as well subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment on this episode, head to this episode post on thisweekingeek.net and comment through Facebook Connect. Or you can call our voicemail line at 817-717-7202. Send us a Twitter message by @replying to @ThisWeekInGeek. Lastly, you can email us at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. This extra music was produced by Prono Bozo at PronoBozo.com. We'll see you next time, and remember,
lower your shields and surrender your listenership.